All right, we're on page 30, starting the Word of Wisdom. Now, Word of Wisdom is God impressing a portion of His wisdom to a person to use or to give to another person. And as you look through these bullets here, it's the capacity to understand and function accordingly. The Word of Wisdom is not natural wisdom developed over a period of time. We can have natural wisdom and a lot of it, but a word of wisdom is a God impressing a portion of His divinely into your heart and mind. It's supernatural wisdom that may be even given to a babe in Christ. Knowledge and wisdom are often found being used together. Knowledge will show us certain facts, and wisdom will show us what to do with these known facts. Before I make my next point and begin moving on, I just wanted to say it's very heartening to see what's happening. There are people starting to be used in spiritual gifts that have never been used in them before. And so I just encourage you to continue seeking God, to be open to Him, to be used by Him, so that the body of Christ can be increased through the gifts that He's imparting and using each and every one of us in. So hang in there. It blesses me to see that happening. All right, wisdom is not the answer to a solution, but the method to the answer. This can be seen in Romans 11:30. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, talking about the Gentiles receiving mercy because of the Jewish Israel's unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The wisdom of God was, He dealt with the Jewish people, gave them the law. He knew that they were going to walk in unbelief. He prophesied ahead of time that the Gentiles were going to be drawn into the body. So these are walking in mercy and belief in the Ten Commandments, the covenant of God. And they fall short. He says, I'm going to extend my mercy to the Gentiles so that through that ministry there, I can draw these Jews back into this relationship. Who would have thought? This is how God is going to bring one body, that he would culminate all of this, bring it together in Christ, so that Jews, Gentiles become one body. The wisdom of God. But this is just showing how wisdom wasn't the solution, it was a method to the answer by dealing with the people groups in different ways. And I still have a tough time trying to figure out how He does all this. Of course, I can't with my puny brain put together the whole plan of God. But I mean, I want to understand as much of it as I can. But just to see how He knows how to do all this stuff and bring it together, the wisdom of God. So let's look at some examples in Matthew 22, starting verse 15. As you know, I'm reading King James, so just hang in there with your reading. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle Him in His talk. And they sent unto Him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know you're true, and teach the way of God in truth. You don't care for any man. You don't regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now, they were sure buttering him up there, weren't they? Oh, we know that you're true, and you teach the way of God in truth. We know that. But we're going to try and trick you anyhow. Should we give tribute to Caesar? But he perceived their wickedness, said, "Why tempt you me, ye hypocrites?" Those are kind words. "Show me the tribute money." They brought him a penny, and he said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's." Now, you can go along in life trying to plan. Let's see, I'm going to answer this guy this way if they ask this question. These are bolts out of the blue where people just hit you with something. They're trying to get you. And the wisdom of God just poof. Well, whose picture's on here? I'd have never thought that up in a heartbeat. That's what the word of wisdom does. It comes in. It's a God-given impartation for a specific need. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to have read your Bible for 3 hours that day to get it. You can be a babe in Christ and get it. Because all you have to do is be one of his spirit-filled kids that he can use in those things. And you don't even have to always ask for it. I don't think Jesus said, "Wait a minute, guys. Father, can I have this word of wisdom?" He didn't do that. God just gave it to him. And I believe he can do the same thing with us. John 8, verse 3. I like this one. Because it's got some other truths in there that I was looking at recently. Scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act." There's no question about this one. She was caught right in the act. "Now Moses in law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, I've heard some people say, you know, they're surmising what he was writing down. I don't know, was he writing down their sins? Let's see then. You know, can you just picture? I mean, he's just sitting there just writing on the ground. Those guys are probably going, "What is he doing?" And then he speaks this word, and he starts writing on the ground again. I don't know about you, but it cracks me up. Just picturing what was taking place in their minds. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She said, "No man, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." What wisdom, just, all right, I'd have been stuck without the Spirit of God. Okay, if I say, "Stone her," I know that's really what they want. And if I go against it, that's really what they want because they want to accuse me. But the wisdom of God gave a way out of it. And the thing I see in this, the second principle that I've been looking at in here, is that mercy and truth are met together. Jesus did not hide anything. He gave truth to the Pharisees, saying, okay, first one without sin, go ahead, you cast a stone. His word brought it to a point where there were no accusers. If there's no accusers, what are you guilty of? But she was guilty. And Jesus had mercy. And basically he's saying, look, I'm not one of your accusers. I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Mercy and truth are met together. And the rest of that psalm says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth coming together through the wisdom, the word of wisdom, spoken in a given situation. I like that. Acts 7:10 says, and talking about Joseph, God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. And I have on your notes there Genesis 41:15 through 40. I'm not going to read through that whole portion. You can do that on your own. But remember, he interpreted the dreams. Now, I realize it's dreams, but there was the wisdom of God that was given to him. He didn't make up the interpretation. It's not something he studied and thought about. He didn't read a book on interpreting dreams and how to do it. God gave him the revelation of what that dream was that Pharaoh had. And through that, Israel actually got preserved through the famine. He became ruler, second ruler in Egypt. Quite a bit happened because he was attentive to what God was speaking to him. And I believe, I'm not sure how much of the natural wisdom was included in his reign. But I mean, when he spoke to Pharaoh, he just said, this is what you need to do. Boom, 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 boom. Well, who is this guy? He's a jailbird. Where'd he learn? Well, he's got a God speaking to him. You might feel like you just really don't know what to do. You can do two things. The book of James, I'm actually getting ahead of myself here a little bit. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask him for it. He'll begin to teach you. He'll begin to give you comprehension. Word of wisdom is a one shot in the dark type thing. Just he gives it to you right there for that given circumstance. So depending on your need, he might take a look at you and say, well, you know what? The thing you're looking for is really something that needs to be developed through my word to help you overcome some of these things in your life and find a course. Other times, he'll give you the shot that you need right for that given time. And he's the one who distributes them. So if you're asking God for wisdom, be alert and attentive just to see what he's beginning to do in your life. He might give you a word of wisdom on how to be getting wisdom. He might give you a course. This is what you need to be doing. This is what you need to be setting aside so that you can increase. It's just up to us to be attentive. In Acts 10, in verse 9, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry, would have eaten. While he made ready, he fell into a trance, saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending onto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. There were all manner of beasts in it, creeping things, and there came a voice to him said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, said, "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done three times. And then it was taken back up into heaven. Now it says in verse 17, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, the men were at the door waiting for him. He got a word of knowledge saying, there's three guys down at the door waiting for you. When he went to Cornelius' house, this word came to life to him. And he says to Cornelius, in verse 28, you know that it's unlawful for a man, that's a Jew, to keep company or come unto another one of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That vision that he was doubting, what in the world does this mean, was brought to light. And the Gentiles were drawn in to the kingdom of God. Now that's a pretty deep word of wisdom, given through a vision. God just spoke to him and said, go ahead, Peter, kill and eat. He's like, not me. I haven't done that. Now he's walking around afterward thinking, why does God want me to eat these animals? What's this mean? And he gets to the house and all of a sudden it all comes into place. And he says, man, okay, he preaches Christ to him. They start speaking in tongues before he's done. And he goes, can anybody stop us from water baptizing these guys? Word of wisdom. See how powerful it can be? A lot of times this gift is used with the word of knowledge, because sometimes the word of knowledge will show an area in a person's life and the word of wisdom will give them direction. And I shared earlier in this class about I've had, I think, two words of wisdom. They came with words of knowledge. Words of knowledge were about problems that people were going to run into, for warning them, and the word of wisdom gave them direction. If you do these things, you'll be able to withstand the other. One case, it was a failure. The other case, I don't know whatever happened. The failure was they didn't take heed. Not to me, but God had given it. I mean, he lays it on a platter and says, look, if you do these things, that's what he says in his word. If you do these things, you'll never fall. If you do these things, he gives us a course. And the word of wisdom can give a course for you, or that God will use you to give it to somebody else. And it can save their life, their spiritual life, from going into off the deep end. So as God speaks to you, learn to hear his voice and then respond and just speak to the people that God wants you to speak to. I mean, it felt heavy to me because I felt like I'm the bearer of bad tidings. You know, well, this is what you're going to face. This is what's coming into your life. And this is what you need to do to make sure that doesn't happen. But it didn't feel like a joyful word, like you're going up to somebody and saying, oh, praise God, you're going to be blessed. No, it was a serious word. And I felt it in my heart because I knew it was going to affect their life. And I needed to just make sure I was hearing it and speaking it. So Word of wisdom can deal with small areas, deal with big areas, as you see from the scriptural examples, the Gentiles being drawn in, Joseph with the salvation of the children of Israel being brought down into Egypt and preserved, and it might be small things. But God will speak him to you, and then it's up to you. Any questions on the word of wisdom? Real quiet group here today.
You know, I think of Solomon when the two women were debating, you know,
yes,
claimed the baby was theirs.
Yes. That'd be a tough one to just think up by yourself on a spur of the moment. Yep. Cut that baby in half.
I know that sometimes we try to prepare ourselves to have answers. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you
right.
build kind of a stockpile of information. You know, how would you approach this? How would you give an answer? And that's all well and good. But there's times when, you know, Jesus told us, the disciples one time, you'll be taken before the magistrates. Don't think ahead what you're going to say in that hour, because my spirit will give you the words to speak. And sometimes that can be true as well in a, you know, in a counseling situation or even in a witnessing situation. We've got to learn to really rely upon the Lord and the use of the gifts of the Spirit, and not just the fact that I have this stockpile of information.
Right.
It's good to have that, but I mean, it's so much more to have that live connection to the Lord at that time.
Right, because sometimes the pat answers that we have are just that. They're pat answers, or they might even be biblical, but they're not necessarily exactly the thing that's needed at that given moment. And I don't know. I mean, just allow your heart to be open. That's the biggest thing. A broken and contrite heart is the heart that he's looking for to use. I believe as we continue breaking our hearts before him, falling on the rock, being broken into pieces, dying to ourselves, I believe we'll see a continual increase in the move of God in our lives. And by saying that, I'm not saying we're not dying to ourselves now. I'm just saying as we continue to increase doing that, I believe he wants to see that in our lives. And just from some of the fruit that's taking place, people setting their hearts before God, God beginning to use them, I'd say it's taking place. Let's continue.